Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. It's rocking and rolling here at Fanatics Fest. We have seen Tom Brady. We have incredible Victor Cruz, Michael Chandler, everybody upstairs, downstairs. It's the biggest show in sports. But sometimes we have to get a somber position, a somber branding. I am with my friend Yuri Boyenko. He is the founder of Hope for Ukraine, supporting Ukraine and all of its efforts. And I am in support of Ukraine since I'm Ukrainian as well. Welcome to the Playbook, Yuri.
Thanks for having me, David. Thank you.
Well, we're here at Fanatics Fest, and I want to start because a lot of guys don't get it. You understand how the world changes, and the bigger the stage is, the bigger the people, the more aware people are of the conversation. So it doesn't have to be about collectibles or touchdowns or home runs. There's a bigger issue in the world. Sports, obviously, is a common denominator of peace. What's going on today in the Ukraine that we need people to be aware of?
Yeah, the war's still going on, right? 3+ years. And the war always brings devastation. And the biggest devastation right now, outside of everything else, but we see a lot of young people who are amputees, the veterans, right? So Ukraine has right now, last time I checked, about 70,000 amputees
of the war.
So if you compare it to France, France is two times the population of Ukraine. They have about 30,000. And we already have 70,000. And the war is not even over. And so what we're doing now, so we got all these young men and women who's been injured in this war. So what are they gonna do with their life now? If you don't give them purpose, they're gonna end up bounded by depression,
yeah,
bounded by alcohol, drugs.
Like our United States veterans.
Yes, so we are working with a number of groups now to actually start a soccer league. Amputee soccer league, and in the next year or two, we plan to have about 20 clubs all across Ukraine. That we're gonna get these guys involved in something. And the thing we see, the inspiration on the faces of these young guys, once we come to the hospital rooms, and we tell them, listen, after you get out of here, we're gonna give you something to do with your life. We're gonna hire the coaches. We're gonna put you in the club. It's completely changing the encounter.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the terrible situations in Ukraine, and it's not ending anytime, we, as a charitable organization, we're trying to find something positive, right? And build something great. So I think the message here, especially at the Fanatics Fest, that sport can play a big role in healing of a lot of issues. And I think it's something that, you know, every athlete, right, or trainer, they have to get involved somewhere to use their talent to help people who've been affected, whether it's in Ukraine or here.
Yeah, it's interesting how hope from the Hope in Ukraine is a lot more than just basic resources, water and food, which are needed. And your organization has been doing it for 3 years or more, bringing necessities to people. But even if we keep people alive, if we don't have purpose or meaning, then it's actually futile. One of the things that the Ukraine is known for is to have a heart. And as we see the meaning that we give these attacks, that we mustn't quit, persistence, that we have to have hope, even though sometimes there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary. How big or how important is hope for everyone in the Ukraine in order to have a victory someday?
I mean, that's all we have left, right? I think hope and resilience of the spirit is what's carrying Ukraine forward. And I think these guys, you know, like I'm talking about regular citizens. Imagine every night you have to go to the shelter at 2 a.m. in the morning to hide, and you have to wake up to work at 7 a.m., right? And so people getting very little sleep all across the country. But in the end of the day, because of their resilience, just like the athletes here, they go and they perform their daily duties, right? And they keep going to their shops, baking bread, making coffee, serving in the restaurants. Everything goes back to normal, like nothing happened. And when you ask most of them, like, what's your, how much you sleep each and every night? They're like, you know, 2 hours, 4 hours. And that's been going on for years. So the hope that they have that this is not the end would not be able to sustain itself if they wouldn't have resilience. So I think what you see in Ukraine is really those two things that's holding the society and the spirit. And that's why, listen, we still can stand against much greater enemy. And I think nobody can break the spirit, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what this country, the United States, was built on, yeah. Is that same spirit. But there's so much information, so much misinformation, and so many different social silos. I feel as if a lot of people in America don't even know that the war is still going on. In fact, I still find it surprising that I'll ask people about what's going on in the Middle East, and people don't know. And I bet if we walked around and asked people here at Fanatics Fest, they wouldn't know. How challenging is it to get the information out in America, not only so they're aware of it, but two, that they're aware of why it's important for the United States to support the Ukraine?
Yeah, I think right now the media cycle moved somewhere else, and I totally understand that because news changing so fast, right?
Yeah.
But we've been fortunate enough to use our social media channels to keep message alive. Like every time there is a drone or missile attack on Ukraine, we broadcast it almost in real time. So people know that the war is still going on and the Ukrainian people still need help. And, you know, the number one thing what's keeping people alive there is knowing that somebody stands behind them, like in the United States and in other countries. So for us, it's been crucial to really master social media to make sure we maximize our engagement, right? To make sure that every content we put out there, you know, we can get, you know, millions of interactions. And that's how the message is still alive. So I think no matter where it is in Ukraine or other parts of the world, if people dealing with the different conflicts and different struggles, they need to find out how they can use modern technology to keep message alive.
And to that measure, keeping the message alive, how often are there attacks right now on the Ukraine?
Every night. Like, you know, I mean, we are dealing with, on average, 100, 200 drones every night, which is Iranian-made and Russian-made. So,
which is important to know as well.
Yeah, so you got to understand that. Specifically in a right now situation in the Middle East, Iranians were the first people who supplied drones to Russians because Russia did not have that technology. So in the beginning of this drone fight that we have in Ukraine now, Iranians would ship the entire drones. They would assemble everything together. But then over the last 3 years, Russians built their factories to produce these drones. But the technology inside, a lot of components now are still Iranian. So every night we have 200, 300 Russian-Iranian drones hitting us outside because the missiles are expensive, right?
Yeah.
So they cannot afford so much missiles, but the drones So that's why when we spoke to you earlier, like, basically people every night they need to spend time in the shelters. Like, if you go to Kiev right now, in the subway station, you will go inside, there would be like a hotel room. Everybody with their dogs, cats, mattresses. So that's the situation we live in. And, you know, until we defeat this evil, it's not going to stop.
What needs to happen for this war to end?
I think Putin needs to be gone. I think the war hinges on the backs of one evil person. Just like World War II, and until Hitler was alive, the world was in complete chaos.
Yeah.
Right now, the world is in chaos because of the actors like Putin, right? And there's other people, Kim Jong-un, you know, Iranian regime. Once you remove that, I believe in goodness of people. I believe Russians, there's a lot of Russians who don't want war.
Yeah. Which is why I think they're having a difficult time, because I think we don't know it because we're here in America, but I think so many Russians don't want the war. They don't want their kids fighting.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if you look at Russia, right, it's becoming more like a North Korea, where regular folks don't really have a say. It's controlled by Putin, FSB, and all these secret service agencies, right? So once that evil is removed, then I believe there's going to be a peace that's going to be lasting peace.
I agree. I hope so. Now, in the efforts that Hope for Ukraine, you also do provide food, bread, water. Is there a great shortage still?
I mean, that's our main program, is the food supplies. Because...
And tell us what these people are doing to get the supplies to where they need to be every day.
Listen, I'll tell you a story of a volunteer from United States, Hope for Ukraine volunteer. So he calls us up, he's like, I wanna go to Ukraine to volunteer. So we set him up, he flies to Lviv, to our headquarters there. He worked there with us in a warehouse, and then one of our teams come in who deliver food, and he said to them, I wanna go with you guys. So he jumps in the van and they go to Kherson region. Kherson region is in the south of Ukraine, right? Right across the next to Dnipro River. So they drive in a van with our team, this volunteer, about 1 hour from their destination. The leader of our team starts to say, wait, we need to give you all the armor, you know, protection, right? He's like, why do I need this, right? I was like, you need this just in case, bulletproof vest and everything. So they drive another 30 minutes, they stop the van. Our volunteer asked him, why did you guys stop? He's like, because we're waiting for a guy who needs to jump with us in a van, who knows this road, so we don't get blown up by the mines. So they wait for the guy jumps in. So they come to this road. So basically it's Antonio Bridge. So basically it's a river and on the other side is Russians. And there's people living there, Ukrainians, right? So they say to this guy, now we're gonna drive really fast to deliver food to this village over there. Because if we do go slow, the drone's gonna hit us because the drone's in the air by the enemy. So that's the kind of road trips they have to take to deliver food. And that's the reason why there's no regular deliveries there. There's no infrastructure. It's not like, you know, a bread company can send a big vehicle there to bring mail. They don't have basics. The only thing they rely on these people, civilians, is teams like ours who go through extreme measures to deliver that food. And that's basically, we have millions of these people, because you're talking about north, you have Kharkiv region, and all the way to Kherson region. So that's kind of situations we're dealing each and every day with.
And we're in summertime now, and during the winter it's even worse because drones aren't affected by, but ground is. Now, when targeting things, it seems to me the Russians are targeting people, not strategic strikes.
Yeah.
What's the meaning behind that? These amputees, the hospitals, the schools, I know a lot of people may or may not believe that to be true, and they may feel as they do in the Middle East, when the counterattacks are on hospitals because they're hiding in hospitals. What is the truth that's going on?
The truth is they want to break the spirit of the nation. And that same thing happened in the Middle East. They want uprising within the country, right? So they would sign a deal with the enemy that's going to be favorable to them. So Russians are specifically hitting civilian targets to break the spirit of resilience. And that's how the enemy works. They don't fight army against army because they cannot defeat us army to army. If they could, they would defeat already.
Yeah.
Everybody's thinking a Russian army is that great. They're not great at all. Because if they were great, they would already capture Ukraine. They're really terrible at fighting. They're only good at fighting civilians and bombing civilian targets, but they do it on purpose. So they feel like one day, if they keep bombing and bombing and bombing, all these people will stand up, say, you know what, be ready to surrender, capture us, we're gonna speak Russian, we're gonna be under your authority, just leave us alone. That's the basic meaning. And that's why all these terrorist regimes, they all act the same way. Like our military hit the military targets, in response they hit in civilian targets, same thing you see in the Middle East.
Yeah, and so in support of the Hope for Ukraine, it's here in America, what can we do that would most have the most impact? Where should we go? What should we do?
Yeah, you can visit our website, hfu.org. You can learn more about our programs. Also, you can find us on all the social media at Hope for Ukraine. And just connect with us, pray for Ukraine, and help us to stand to the end.
Share the information, share the inspiration, share your support. First they come for the Ukraine, now they come for other parts in other countries. Someday, if you don't protect them, they'll come for you. This is David Meltzer, utilizing sports and peace, as always, to facilitate what we need and when we need it. Thank you for joining me, Yuri, here.
Thank you.
At Fanatics Fest on the Playbook.